Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances, present.
Minutes in Hollywood, starring George Jessel and the welcome return of Norma Talmadge, and by courtesy of Paramount Pictures, the guest appearance of the celebrated motion picture star, Mr. George Raft, also Ralph DeAngelis, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Starr.
Tommy Tucker and his boys open George Jessel's office in Hollywood.
Hello? Jessel, 30 minutes in Hollywood. Amy talking. Who? Mr. Jessel? Well, he ain't here yet. Oh, I don't know. Well, you see, the house Mr. Jessel lived in was on the hill that had the landslide, and the house is now in Pasadena. Oh, I expect him any day. Well, just a minute, there's someone coming through the window. It's Mr. Jessel!
Thank you. Hello? Hello, Mom? Yeah, this is George. What's doing? Well, you got trouble with Willie? He don't want to wash himself properly. Oh. You say you wish the watermelon season was on? Why? Then he could enjoy himself and clean his ears at the same time. Well, that's good. Yes, Mom, the Christmas spirit is in the air. I should say so, particularly out here. Oh, yes, the bookmakers are not charging any of their customers commission. So the ones that are on government relief, I mean. What? Willie said his prayers last night and I was in it. Well, that's very nice. Just what did he say? Now I lay me down to sleep. I hope that while I slumber, my brother George will win the sweeps and Mom will hit the number. Well, that's very good. Call me later. And now, ladies and gentlemen, we take you first to Antonio's Cutrate Barbershop, where you get such a close shave, you're lucky to get out alive. I play the part of Tony. Ralph DeAngelis will be Giuseppe, the other barber. And the manicurist will be played by Miss Joan Carter. Owing to the fact that we had to cut expenses a little this week, as the scene opens, the manicurist will be out to lunch.
Hey, what goes on here? Three barbers and I've only want to get shaved, that's all.
Here, Giuseppe, why don't you wait on one broken down customer coming to place and nobody waits on him? What's the matter with you?
Not me. I don't like his look. And besides, I'm too nervous.
All right, I gotta look after him myself. How do you do, gentlemen? What can I do for you today?
What do you charge for a haircut?
We charge you 75 cents.
Sir. What's the idea? Your sign says first class haircut, 40 cents.
I know, but your hair is not a first class.
Well, just give me a shave and don't shave me too close.
Not too close. Okay, you sit here. I'm gonna stand in Sacramento. How you like that, okay?
Come on, make it snappy. I want to get to the football game.
Oh, you're a football player, huh?
No, I'm an air gossiper.
I don't understand. Would you please to make the same words come out of your kisser once more, please, eh?
I'm an air gossiper. I talk about people on the radio.
Oh, I mean, you talk about a moving picture people?
That's right. I talk about anybody. I'm a commentator.
Oh, you're a common potato. Oh, I see. Well, you want to know something? I want to tell you this. I charge everybody 25 cents for shave, but I'm not going to charge you nothing. Oh, no, no. You're a commentator. You sit right down. I'm going to give you some shave for free. There you are. What kind of shaving soap you like?
What kind have you got?
Well, I got orange, lemon, lime, and raspberry. Yes, for commentator, that's it for you. You get a raspberry. Sit right down. Oh, solemnio.
Hey, look out. You got my mouth full of soap.
That's an extra charge. Besides, for fellow in your kind of business, soap is good for the mouth. You know what I mean? Excuse me. Beg your pardon. Did you have some ketchup for lunch?
Ketchup? No, why?
Because your neck is leaking a little bit. Oh, I think I cut you.
You think you cut me? Is it a bad cut?
I don't know. Wait till you shake your head. Then we see.
Hurry up and don't cut me again.
Don't worry. Every time I cut you, I'm going to give you 10 cents. And maybe you're going to be the next lucky guy.
What do you mean?
Well, this morning, I was so nervous. One guy would take $1.40 from me. Maybe you're going to hit a jackpot. Wait till we see. Oh, son of me. Say, you know one thing? You lose your hair.
Yeah, it's falling out day by day.
That's right. Just like a philosopher say, hair today and a gone tomorrow. Well, he's a love me. He's a love me not. He's a love me. He's a love me not.
Hey, what kind of a razor are you shaving me with?
Oh, that's an razor. I shave you with a tweezers. You see? He's a love me. He's a love me not.
Hey, I don't like you. Let the other barber shave me.
Who, Giuseppe? Oh, he's no shave nobody. He's going to sing an opera. He think you're working for the Barber of Seville, eh, Giuseppe?
You said it. La ricorsa tonoma della città, largo. La 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 la. Ah! Questa bottega che l'alba è già presto. La 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 la. Ah, che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere. Per un barbiere di qualità. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo, bravissimo, bravo! La 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 la! Oh, fortunatissimo per verità, bravo! La 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 la! Fortunatissimo per verità! Fortunatissimo per verità! La 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 la! Dappertutto la notte e il giorno sempre d'intorno in giro sta miglior cuccagna per un barbiere vita più nobile no non si dà la 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 rasso e pettini leccete forbici al mio comando tutto qui sta leccete pettini leccete forbici al mio comando tutto qui sta quella risorsa poi del mestiere con la donnetta e col cavaliere, con la donnetta la 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 levo e col cavaliere la 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 la. Che bel vivere, che bel piacere, che bel piacere. Per un barbiere di qualità, tutti mi chiedono e tutti mi vogliono, donne ragazze e vecchie fanciulle, quale parrucco e presto la barba, quale sanguigno e presto il biglietto, tutti mi chiedono, tutti mi vogliono, tutti mi vogliono, tutti mi vogliono, quale parrucca, presto la barba, presto il biglietto, oi, Figaro!
Figaro!
Figaro! Figaro, 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 Figaro. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo, bravissimo. Ah, bravo Figaro, bravo, bravissimo. A te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna non mancherà. La 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 la. A te fortuna, a te fortuna, a te fortuna non mancherà. Sono il passatum della città. Sono il passatum della città, della città, della città. Della città.
Ladies and gentlemen and children, those of you who have listened to this show must be aware by this time that there is no set formula to it. We hereby thank our sponsors who have the confidence to give us a free hand in presenting these programs. And because of this freedom, I read the following letter to George Jessel, 30 Minutes in Hollywood. Dear Mr. Jessel, I wonder if you'd allow me a few minutes on your program in order to explain to my friends and to people throughout the country why I intend to leave my husband. I'm taking this method in order that my story may not be garbled by many rumors. I'm a Hollywood wife, and my husband is well known in the amusement world. If you agree to my suggestion, please announce it on your program. I shall be present at your broadcast of December 5th. Thank you, signed Mrs. X. That's the letter, ladies and gentlemen, and it seems to be authentic. If you are present, Mrs. X, will you kindly step forward? There's a few minutes arranged for you. Norma, ladies and gentlemen. It's my own wife, Norma Talmadge. Norma, do you want to separate from me? Why? Is there someone else?
Yes, there is. And his name is Banquet. I'm sick and tired of it all. There's just too many banquets and dinners in your life, and you just haven't any time for me.
Well, darling, you're wrong. I'm always thinking of you. While you were in the hospital and the doctor said you couldn't have anything, didn't I bring you a pocket full of celery and olives from the judge's banquet? What about the night I was Toastmaster at Cantor's anniversary dinner? Didn't I bring home something for the one I love best?
Yes, you brought home a pocket full of cigars for yourself.
Oh.
And where were you the day I was rushed to the hospital, the night before I was operated on? You were at a banquet.
You're right, honey. I'll admit I didn't get to the hospital for the preview, but I was there for the opening.
Yes, and the minute you walked into the operating room, you had to start making a speech. Why?
Well, I thought I saw a microphone, honey.
That was the doctor's stethoscope.
Oh, I only did it to cheer you up.
I wouldn't mind if you got paid for those speeches once in a while.
Well, now,
but
after all, Norma, money isn't everything.
No. Did you ever try to buy lamb chops with marbles?
Now, look here, dear. What you need, what we both need, is a nice trip to Europe so you can rest up.
I'd rather take a trip to Reno so we can split up.
Now, honey, you're not serious. You're not serious about all this, are you?
I certainly am, George. And I'm going to ask the people here and those listening in to judge whether I'm right or wrong. Dear people, I'm going to show you a day in the life of a professional Toastmaster's wife. It is morning. I am in the breakfast room waiting for Mr. Jessel to come down to breakfast. He enters wearing his evening clothes, carrying a gavel in his hand. Then he stands at the head of the breakfast table and raps for order.
Quiet, gentlemen. Quiet, please.
Just then our canary by the window starts singing.
Just a second. The gentleman in the cage will please come to order. Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, and our guest of honor, Norma, it is very fitting that we meet on this auspicious occasion to celebrate a union that has brought untold pleasure for years to millions of people in this country. My friends, I refer to the union of ham and eggs.
And during the meal, he tries to tell me smoking room stories.
Honey, did you hear the one about the fuller brush man and the lady in the bathtub?
Yes.
Say, who you go around with in your spare time? I don't remember telling you that one.
You must have told it so many times before, you keep repeating it in your sleep. After breakfast, he leaves a 25-cent tip under his plate, slaps me on the back, and says he hopes to see me again sometime. And leaves for the office. Then comes one of those very, very rare occasions. An evening when Mr. Jessel finally comes home to dinner. To make him feel at home, I serve the meal he is most accustomed to. Salted hot water called consomme, half a mummified chicken, wilted celery, melted ice cream, and cold coffee. And I have to eat it, too. Then after the meal, I have to sit at the table until he finishes making a speech.
Mr. Chairman, gentlemen, Norma, the closing remarks of the last speaker recall to my mind the story of the trained nurse to Farmer's son.
And so on far into the night. Then he puts on an old Lang Syne record. Then he makes me applaud, shakes hands with me, and says he'd like to see me again next year, and goes up to bed. Ladies and gentlemen, I leave it to you.
Now, honey, that it does sound kind of terrible, and I don't blame you for your attitude. And now that you've shown me how wrong I've been to make amends, first I'm going to buy you that lovely evening gown you want.
You mean the one with the spangled bolero jacket?
Yes, and I'll tell you something. I'll never make another speech as long as I live.
Ah, you promised?
I promised. Mr. Chairman, ladies and gentlemen, as I stand before you tonight and see your smiling faces, I want to say...
And I want to say good night, ladies and gentlemen. It
is always a very good policy before buying anything to investigate the competitive product. The manufacturers of Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas ranges welcome this investigation and comparison. California housewives have for years shown their preference by buying more Gaffers and Sattler gas ranges than any other make. Gaffers and Sattler automatic gas ranges are truly the finest gas ranges ever built. If you are thinking of buying a gas range, see your nearest Gaffers and Sattler dealer and learn for yourself how easy it is for you to have one of these modern gas ranges in your kitchen. There is a model and design that will fit your purpose with terms to fit your budget. Each range is guaranteed by Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
Thank you.
And now we come once again to our 7.5-year-old star of song, the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Very lovely. You sang beautifully, and now, honey, you can go home right now.
No, Mr. Jessel, I don't want to go home. I want to see the stars.
Oh, you do want to see the stars? You want to see the guest stars? All right, I don't blame you, Josephine. Folks, this program celebrates its third month on the air by bringing you a guest appearance of one of Hollywood's leading citizens, a star of many picture successes, fine actor, fine sportsman, and fine fellow. A chap that's really wrapped up in his profession, I bring you George Rapp. Well, hi, George.
I'm fine, George. And how are you, George?
Sounds like double talk. I'm fine, Max.
Me too, Ralph.
Say, look, Georgie, after coming from Broadway and meeting a lot of heels on land, it must have been a great thrill to make the picture Souls at Sea, wasn't it? I bet you got a thrill out of doing that one.
Say, George, did I ever tell you about my ball club? Boy, I've got a ball club. I put Hollywood right on the map. And I got a baseball pitcher.
Oh, is he wrapped up in his work, this fella? Tell me, who do you consider the greatest director in pictures, Georgie?
Say, Georgie, did you ever hear of Ching Johnson?
Ching Johnson? What picture did he ever direct?
There's the greatest hockey player in the world. Did you ever play hockey, George?
No, I'm a sort of a clobberage man.
I see. Gus Minnell, huh?
That's right. But you don't seem to be getting me. You're going to make a new picture at Paramount called The Spawn of the North, and I'll bet that'll be thrilling.
Thrilling? Say, George, that reminds me. I saw the greatest football game yesterday. When that kid Washington threw that 72-yard pass, I want to tell you, that was really a finish.
Look, when you start on this picture, Spawn of the North, do you know how it's going to finish?
Finish? Sure. Seabiscuit first, Manitoy second, War Admiral third.
Folks, that'll give you a rough idea how wrapped up in his work this fellow is. Georgie, I've got a little travesty here, and, well, we wrote it with you in mind. It'll mean a lot to me if you'll help me play it. You've got to play two parts in this thing, George, a gentleman and a crook, and only as you can play them. What do you say?
Anything to help a pal.
All right, baby boy, here's your part. Please. Ladies and gentlemen, we present a thrilling drama from life. A word of explanation to those of you who are not familiar with the word gag. The word gag and joke have the same meaning, so we'll appreciate you bearing this in mind during the action of the play. And now, with apologies to Phillips Lord, we present the Gag Busters.
Tonight's episode opens in Washington, D.C., in the Bureau of Jokes Investigation, in the office of J. Edgar Jessel, chief of the GAG men. Seated opposite Jessel is Mr. Phillips Ford. Chief Jessel speaks.
Mr. Ford, tonight's episode has something to do with one of the worst gagsters of modern times. The thief of bad gags, known in the plunder world as Gagface Burlone.
What was the nature of his crimes, Chief?
Well, Mr. Ford, he was a menace to radio comedians. He used to steal radio comedians' jokes and sell them to the amateur hour.
Where did he come from, Chief Jessel?
Well, Mr. Ford, he was born in College Humor, Arizona. And as a youngster, he started writing poetry, but he soon found out that rhyme doesn't pay. So he started lifting jokes. He claimed that the world owed him a lifting. And he was out to get it from the time he was 3 years old. He was raised by his father, who incidentally was known as Second Story Burlone.
Chief Jessel, you mean to say that Gag Face Falone's father was a Second Story man?
Yes. If he heard you tell the story first, he'd tell it second right away.
Unbelievable. Proceed, Chief.
That, Mr. Ford, was Gag Face Falone's environment. He was bad right from the start. As he grew older, he fell in with a lot of pun men. And after that, one joke led to another. And when radio comedians became the rage, he really became a menace.
Tell me, Chief, just how did Gag Face operate?
Well, he had an accomplice called Hokey, a stooge pigeon and lookout man. He used to check the daily radio column, pick out a certain comedian, then on the night of that comedian's broadcast, just outside...
What time is it, Hokey?
6:20, boss.
Are you sure he always leaves at this time?
Yeah, boss, he ain't missed once yet. Hey, look, that's him.
Where?
There, getting in his car.
Here's his apartment. Try that door.
Hey, no answer, boss, and it's locked.
Okay, come on. I'll get you. I ain't seen a judge yet that I'm getting there. Let me interrupt you, Chief. Didn't Hokey try the door and say it was locked?
Yes, he did.
Then how could they get in?
With a skeleton key that they stole from a ghostwriter.
I catch on. Proceed, Chief.
Well, after they got into the comedian's room...
Did you find anything yet, Hokey?
Yeah, is this anything here, boss?
Let me see. Is that anything? Holy mackerel, look at that stack of gags. I'll collect plenty of sugar for these. Here, come here, get this one. Here's a gag that's a pit. A woman sitting in a restaurant eating spaghetti. She calls the waiter over and says to him, "Waiter, this spaghetti is too stringy." And the waiter says to her, "Why don't you take off your veil?" Boy, is that a pip? Somebody's at the hall, the door, Hokey. Grab those gags and beat it down the fire escape.
Okay, boss. Gee, boss, there ain't no fire escape here.
Why, you dirty double-crossing rat, I'll fix you for this. I suppose he was captured that night, Chief.
No, Mr. Ford. Gagface was too clever for that.
You mean to say he got away? With somebody at the door and no fire escape?
Yes, Mr. Ford. He always carried a tube of shaving cream, so he made a lather and climbed down. Some pun, eh, Ford?
Yes. How did you finally capture him, Chief?
After that night, Gagface went right back to his hideout, and we couldn't locate him until one Sunday night in July, 1933. My men and I were seated in a New York broadcasting studio where an amateur program was in progress.
All right, all right. Now we hear from little Albert Kirk from New Mexico, the Boner City for tonight. What are you going to do tonight, Albert?
Tell jokes.
All right, go ahead.
A lady was sitting in a restaurant eating spaghetti. She called the waiter over and said, "Waiter, this spaghetti is..."
Here, wait a minute.
Stringy.
Stop this program. Stop it. Young man, you're under arrest.
I didn't do nothing, Miss Honest.
You're telling stolen gags. Where did you get that spaghetti joke?
I bought it, mister, from a man by the name of Mr. Ballone.
Gag Face Ballone. What did he look like?
I didn't see his face.
That's him. I'd know him anywhere. Young man, if you show us Gag Face Ballone's hideout, I'll let you go.
Sure, mister. I'll show you.
Come on, boys. Now, listen, man, I'll take the front door. You surround the house. If he tries to get away, let him have it. Remember, he always packs the fun. Get your tear gags ready. Come on up these stairs. Quiet now. Open up! Open up, Gag Face, it's the police! Open up, we'll break the door down! Break it down, boys! All right, Gag Face, reach for the sky, Gag Face! The gag is up!
Oh, yeah?
Come on, get your puns out and let them have it!
Who's that lady I saw you with last night?
Why ain't you didn't cross the street?
Patton might get off a streetcar!
Did you ever hear the one about the traveling salesman?
What's the difference between an old maid and a tomato? That got him.
Okay, GAG men, you got me. Say, Chief, how did you ever find my hideout?
Never mind that gag face. You're shot and you're dying. You want to make a statement?
Yeah, Chief.
Okay, what is it?
A woman was sitting in a restaurant, eating spaghetti, and she... Oh, you got me!
Thank you, George Raft.
Thank you.
Day by day, in every way, the early mornings and late evenings are getting cooler and cooler. Why take chances of catching cold in a damp, chilly room? Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heaters are ideally adapted to California's climatic conditions and will uniformly warm every corner of the house. They are beautiful in design and fit into any decorative scheme, finished in durable porcelain enamel and trimmed in triple-plated chromium. There is a Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater to meet every heating condition, from a single room to an entire house, and in a range of prices surprisingly low. Buy a Gaffers and Sattler circulating gas heater tomorrow, and we assure you that you'll become one of the many warm friends of Gaffers and Sattler, California's leading manufacturer of gas appliances.
How's the show going? Oh, you like it? I'm glad. Well, I'm going to tell him right now. You keep listening. Folks, on November 14th, I started a crusade on this program against malicious gossipers on the air. I'm happy to say that my few words have borne fruit, and the airwaves are now much healthier to breathe. However, a few of the up-and-coming and going commentators are broadcasting from hookups where I'm sure they'd get more listeners if they just yelled out of the window, and they've started something. These lads have accused me of having started this fight to cover up my own past. That there were skeletons in my closet that I was afraid would come to life. They threatened to make trouble for me by digging up my past. Well, here's my past. Let them make trouble for me. I was born April 3rd, 18... Well, late 18s. At the age of 2, I fell out of a 5-story window when I lived. At the age of 5, I was already keeping company, but not steady, you know? At the age of 7, I put on my first long pants, cut down from an old pair of granddad. At the age of 9, I met Cantor. At the age of 9 years... And one day, I borrowed some change from Canada. At the age of 10, I smoked my first cigar and became violently ill. At the age of 11, I borrowed some more change from Canada. At the age of 13, I found out that the bank that my mother used to tell me to put my quarters in was a gas meter. At the age of 17, I borrowed some change from Canada. And today, in my late 30s, I look much older on account of worrying because I still can't pay Canada. All I can do with the stocks and bonds I've got left is to wrap lunch in them. The horse I bet on last week isn't in yet. On my first trip to Hawaii, my wife swallowed a steamship ticket. And this morning, in trying to get out of the way of an automobile, I scared a horse. The horse ran away. Another car, in trying to dodge the horse, ran into a plate glass window of a restaurant. 90 people ran out without paying their checks. The restaurant man found out where it all started, and tomorrow I'm being sued for not letting the automobile hit me. And those gossipers are going to make trouble for me, huh? Hello. Hello, Mom? I gave him good, huh? What? I left out in my life about the day I spoiled my first pair of pants? Yeah, well, any kid is liable to spill ice cream on his clothes, Mom. Yeah. Good night, Mom. Good night, everybody.
George Jessel, 30 Minutes in Hollywood, has presented Norma Talmadge, the guest appearance of the Paramount star, Mr. George Raft, and Ralph DeAngelis, Tommy Tucker and his orchestra, Amy Arnell, and the wonder child, Josephine Starr. Next week, Mr. Jessel's guests, by courtesy of Paramount Studios, will be America's favorite newlywed, Jackie Coogan and Betty Grable, also the famous comedian, Ben Blue. Join us then in George Jessel's office. The doors will be open at 3 p.m.
"30 Minutes in Hollywood" originates through the facilities of the Don Lee Studios in Hollywood. This is the Mutual Broadcasting System.